Well, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. I hope everybody's had a good week. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at our Delaware campus. And this past weekend, we talked about Jacob, and in our series that we're calling Rebel, we're looking at Jacob's life. And earlier this week on the Drivecast, we talked about how Jacob is returning after 20 years back to his homeland, and he's going to encounter his brother Esau. Esau is the reason that Jacob had to flee. He tricked his father Isaac and stole Esau's blessing. Esau declared, "I'm going to kill you, Jacob," and so he has to run away, and he's been gone now for 20 years, and he's coming back. And he's gonna face Esau. And so earlier this week, we talked about kind of the night before and how he spends this night wrestling with this God kind of character, with God himself in the figure of a man. And we talked about the significance of that. But this morning, I want to talk about really the meeting with Esau itself and how Jacob is viewing this. Something really fascinating happens when Jacob sends out some messengers to talk to Esau and let him know that, hey, Jacob is coming through your land. The messengers come back to Jacob, and the only thing they say is Esau is coming with 400 men. And the narrative doesn't say anything else. And it's really this kind of suspenseful moment where you're wondering, oh man, like, is Esau coming to obliterate, to annihilate Jacob? And that's kind of how Jacob interprets it. Jacob, very understandably, goes into problem solving mode. He says in great fear and distress, he starts dividing his camp into two camps. And his plan is, okay, if Esau attacks one camp, maybe the other camp will get away, which seems like a terrible plan, but it's the only thing he can come up with. And I just thought it was... it's so interesting that we see in Jacob what I think a lot of us do, and that is when we encounter a problem, instead of going right to God and to his promises, we often go into problem-solving mode. We say, okay, what can I do to fix this? And eventually, Jacob does go into prayer, and he stands on God's promises, and he says, God, look, you promised me, you commanded me to come back here, and you promised that you would be with me, and you've blessed me, and I don't deserve that blessing, but you did promise to be with me. And that next morning is when he's able to go and face Esau, and he seems like a changed man because of his experience with God, and really trusting God's promises. And so, something that I said to our folks, I felt like there was a principle to be learned here, and that is this: that we need to learn to view our circumstances through the lens of God's promises. Let me say that again. We need to learn to view our circumstances through the lens of God's promises, and not the other way around. What I think often happens in my life, what often happens in our lives, is that we encounter problems, we encounter difficult circumstances, and sometimes we let those difficult circumstances shape our view of God and our view of what God says and God's promises. And so we encounter difficult circumstances and we look up to God and go, God, why is this happening? And maybe even, God, are you even there? Or God, are you good? Or God, how can you say that you're a good and faithful God when this is happening? And then on the flip side, when things are really good, we sometimes look up in God and we're like, God, thank you, you're so great. Or maybe we don't even thank him at all, but often we kind of view God and his promises and his word through the lens of our circumstances rather than viewing our circumstances through the lens of God's promises. And so what we need to do if we have a relationship with God, if you're a son or a daughter of God, we need to dive into God's word, into the Bible, and there, as we read things like that God is steadfast, and he has love that is steadfast, and he's faithful, and that God is able to work all things for the good of those who love him, and that God is able to use trials and use suffering to shape our character, we need to take those promises and stand on those promises and then say, okay, God, how should I see the circumstances through which I'm going right now? To me, that's the only way that that we can live out what James talks about when James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That happens when we are walking by the Spirit, when we're standing on the promises of God and saying, God, I want to see my circumstances through the lens of your promises. I'm going to stand on your word and then trust that you have a reason for walking me through what I'm going through right now. Viewing our circumstances through the lens of God's promises, not letting God's voice be drowned out by what we're currently experiencing. So I just want to encourage you to take a moment to pray right now and just ask the Lord, God, forgive me if I have let my circumstances kind of drown you out. Forgive me if I've looked at you through the lens of my circumstances, if I've looked at your word and your promises through the lens of my circumstances rather than looking at my circumstances through the lens of your promises. God, help me to see what I'm going through the way that you see it, and help me to trust you through it. Just take some time right now and pray to the Lord about that. Well, thank you so much for listening this morning to the LifePoint Drivecast. We love you guys. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.